Today's podcast is brought to you by our awesome patrons at patreon.com and by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Saratalk. Over 180,000 titles to choose from in all your favorite genres. Take advantage of this special promotion. Go to audibletrial.com/Saratalk and download your free audiobook today.
You're listening to Sarah Talk. It's political.
This rhetoric about make America great again. Tell me when America was great and we'll go back there. I'm going with you.
Critical.
Hang on. Let me change some words here. All right. Ready?
Adults with religious confusion who truly believe in a higher power that created us and actually cares what we do with our penises and vaginas should be treated with care, compassion, and kindness, but must not be officially affirmed in their confusion, no matter how sincerely held. Fuck you.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
You women have a flame coming out of your vagina. You talk about being hot. Well, you sure not gonna be hot. You're gonna have a flame shooting out of your vagina. You're gonna need asbestos panties to stop that.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Welcome to Sarah Talk. I'm Sarah Austin, your host. Today is Monday, February 20th. And my wife, Becca, in the studio with me again, as always.
Good morning.
It's good morning if those, if you're listening in the morning. It's good afternoon if you're listening in the afternoon.
Hey,
welcome to
hey.
Podcasting.
Welcome to midnight.
So we have been out of town all weekend. We went out to the coast, to the space coast, to watch SpaceX launch a rocket or hope to launch a rocket. And we had a scrub day. And then we went back the next day and they finally shot off the stupid rocket. So we had a really great time, and hopefully hoping to get our six-year-old in here in a little bit to talk about the rocket launch. But first, most of the show today is going to revolve around this NPR, and it's so early, my voice is like Barry White.
Mine too, sadly.
I hate it.
I've got a lot of phlegm.
I mean, I hate mine, not yours is fine.
No, we were outdoors for 2 days straight, like all day, and so there's a lot of environment,
right,
that gets in your system, makes you sound phlegmy.
So NPR did a investigative story. What's this guy's name? Doesn't tell me. Oh, Luke Van Der Ploeg. And obviously, you'll be able to speak to this in a lot of detail. And we've talked about this before. Just, you know, some of the things that you've been through. But this article studies the Jehovah's Witness religion. And that's being kind, and education. And so, you know, you've told me many times that, you know, you weren't encouraged to go to college because the end is near.
Yep.
Armageddon is coming. What are you going to need an education for?
Yeah, I wasn't even supposed to graduate high school. The end should have come before I even got out of high school or shortly after. And so it wasn't a big deal.
And we've said this on the show before, too, like, when was this garbage founded?
How long ago was it? Of the 19th century.
Yeah.
So we're in the 21st century now. You do the math.
How many generations have said, oh, the end is coming?
Right.
Oh, the end is coming. And then the next generation, oh, but the end is coming. Right. But two generations ago, your great grandparents said that. That they would see the end times, mm-hmm. and they didn't. So how many times do we sell that sad song and dance before it doesn't happen enough times for someone to go, hang on, guys, wait a minute?
Well, the thing about mind control is when you're under the spell, it's very easy to fall for anything that your superiors are saying. And the Jehovah's Witnesses have gotten really good at spinning the false prophecy.
Right.
Like they say that this is when it's going to happen, and then it doesn't, and they come out with this excuse. And it's usually a Watchtower study article on a Sunday during a Sunday meeting that talks about how we've come to understand the scriptures a different way. And the terminology within the organization, it's called New Light. So anytime something that they've said is going to happen doesn't happen. When they say it's going to happen, mm-hmm. then it's, oh, well, it was just a misunderstanding in the scriptures. Or in some cases, they've even said, well, we never said that. But then
Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, yeah, that too. That's not as popular. Like, that's not as, or not popular, but that's not as common. But there are instances where they've come out and have said, well, we never said that. But then you have audio recordings of brothers giving talks and sermons at huge conventions of Jehovah's Witnesses and actually saying that off of the platform. So they'll blame it on one imperfect person just wrote their outline of their talk or whatever and said something that was not necessarily doctrinal, but it was their opinion. So there's right. a lot of scapegoating within the organization when it comes to things like that.
Well, and then the skeptic in me says, well, okay, if you got that wrong, how many other things are you getting wrong?
Sure. Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Which obviously is what leads me to my atheism. But
yeah, well.
Let's talk about this thing. The article addresses the Watchtower's opinion on education, of higher education specifically. And they talk about somebody from Long Island, Zachary Linderer, and how he was interested in science, but even like to your point, was not encouraged to even finish high school,
mm-hmm.
dropped out of high school, didn't go to college.
That's very common.
What do you call it? The
people that were the baby boomers.
Okay.
Are the screwed generation, because they were like the first generation of witnesses that didn't. And now they've worked their like little minimum wage jobs,
right.
and they've not built up a nest egg because they haven't made a lot of money. They were making money just to survive until the system ended. They weren't planning for retirement because they weren't supposed to get that old. And now they've got no 401k. They've got no nest egg. They've got no children in some cases, because they were even encouraged to not have children, because why would you have children in such a corrupt world? So now they don't have children to even take care of them in their old age.
Wow.
So it's really rough for some of them.
So in the story, they talk about Pew Research shows that only 9% of witnesses get undergraduate degrees. Now, and again, this is not to say a whole lot, because I didn't graduate with a collegiate degree either.
Right.
But that was more for job. That wasn't for religion telling me not to. Like, I tried.
Right.
I made 3 attempts at it.
Well, yeah. Some people make that decision based on a lot of other things.
Sure.
But they do point out that it's the lowest in all religious groups.
Right. So 9% of witnesses. The national average is 30.4%, and it's the lowest of any faith group.
Right.
And so then they talk about, there's kind of two reasons for why the Jehovah's Witness organization encourages you not to go to college. And one of those, I didn't even think of the other, but the one was, the end is nigh, so why do you need an education?
Mm-hmm.
The other one was about secularism, and that if you take education from secular institutions, that they're going to erase the brainwashing that mm-hmm. we've done to you.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll leave the faith. You'll leave the one true religion.
Well, and it's never worded that way, of course,
no.
through them. But anybody who can look at it from an outside viewpoint will see it. And anybody who's been immersed in it and has grown up in that and has come out, it's like, you know, once you're away from it for a while and then you go back and look at it with a different set of eyes, you go, whoa.
So this video that we're about to watch from the Watchtower, Anthony Morris, in it, and this is in the NPR article they quoted, that he makes it very clear that the Watchtower organization doesn't discourage education, but rather secular education. And we'll get to that in the video in a minute. Before we get to the video, though, we're going to watch another video from this guy just as a character evaluation tool.
Now, I will, because this is, you know, kind of a joke amongst a lot of us ex-witnesses, Anthony Morris the Third.
Yeah, oh yes.
We actually call him Anthony Morris the Turd, or Aunt Mo the That's Turd.
So,
because he is, once you hear him, he's just not, I don't know, I can't stand his voice. I can't stand anything he says, so.
All right, so let's start with, this is Anthony Morris the Third's opinion of tight pants.
And what it is this Spanx, this skin-tight stuff they wear. Now, are any sisters wearing it in the ministry? No.
Because you don't allow them to. Oh, because you don't allow them in the ministry.
Oh, no. The sisters are the main because the husbands have to go to work for their minimum wage to take care of the family. So the sisters are the ones that are going door to door every day because that's where they belong, raising their children and converting people.
I can't say I've ever seen that. But when they exercise, they leave their home and they're jogging in this stuff. Look at the verse. Is that appropriate? To wear skin tight, Spanx or whatever they call it, that's not modest, and it's certainly not sound of mind. It's really not appropriate.
I'm just seeing this 1980s workout video in my play it out in my head.
Olivia Newton-John.
With all the neon, yeah. And the skin tight pants, the workout pants.
There's nothing else to say about it.
There's nothing else to say about it. But I'm going to go ahead and say some more things about
it. Right.
Now, you want to be in your home or your room and wear that stuff. That's your business. But don't go out in public like that and say you worship the true God. I'm just trying to stay in shape. Inappropriate. And the other one that needs addressing is for these young fellas, because the older ones aren't doing much of it, thankfully. It's the metrosexual look.
What?
This guy's so out of touch with reality. he really is.
The metrosexual look.
Now, I'll give him, this video is a few years old. This talk was like a few years ago. And a lot of people after this, like, left because they were like, this guy's insane. What's wrong with him?
Right.
Metrosexual look. We've addressed that in the past. We've said things about it. But what's happened now, it's really caught on more. Now, metrosexual, that's the tight suit jacket and the tight pants, better known as tight pants.
So fitted clothing.
Right. If you have, an alteration specialist.
But when I think of metrosexual, it's a whole lot more than just tight pants.
That's a guy who's going and getting his manicures and his pedis and getting his eyebrows done and keeping himself
well
clean,
put together.
And, yeah, that has nothing to do with clothing.
Or maybe carries a messenger bag.
Because I've known metrosexual men. I can't even say that anymore. This is such an old word.
Right?
Like,
I mean, I used to play that word in the early 2000s.
Yeah, that was like...
That was my excuse to carry a purse.
Right. But... like, I mean, I knew guys who didn't wear suit jackets, but they were, you know, considered metrosexual because they took care of themselves, not because of the clothing that they wore.
Yeah.
So. And then the audience laughs.
And they are tight, I mean tight, all the way down to the ankles. And that is not modest, brothers. No. It's not appropriate. It's not sound of mind. And I was proud of one circuit overseer who told me this past summer at one of the international conventions, because he brought it up. One of these fellas shows up for his circuit overseer visit.
Did he say circus overseer?
Circuit. And I don't even think that's a thing anymore, but that was like the guy who was in charge of an area. And he was like the...
Right.
I would say head older, but I don't even know how they do it anymore. But
and he wants to go out to ministry, work with him door to door, and he's wearing tight pants. And the circuit overseer was man enough, spiritual man enough to say, no, I'm not going door to door with you. Mm-mm. Not with that dress on. Inappropriate. So a lot to think about, and you elders out there listening in, and be kind now. We always want to try to imitate Christ Jesus. You be spiritual man enough to tell these young fellas, you don't go out in the ministry looking like that. Not in this organization.
Great, I'll leave the organization then.
Yeah.
That was easy.
And a lot of people, that's when they started to second guess what they were actually doing in the organization. So.
I kind of feel like there's got to be a pattern to this, right? Where, not even in this organization, but just in religion in general, right? Look back at Puritans, or if you look at Islam and the way they make their women cover up, and just this, it's all fucking control. It's all about the church controlling your behaviors.
Well, you look at them, they have, I don't know what religion it is, but there was a girl that I knew who grew up and she wasn't even allowed to wear pants. Like she had to wear a skirt all the time. She wasn't allowed to cut her hair ever.
Right.
She wasn't allowed to wear makeup.
It sounds like Amish almost.
Well, it wasn't, but it was, you know, it might as well have been. That was like how strict they were, you know, and even within, and I don't know if this was a cultural thing because I certainly don't think it was a witness thing, but we had families within the witnesses that I knew that, like, one particular family, like, there was a father, a mother, two daughters, and a son, and the son was the youngest, but even though he was the youngest, whenever they would go anywhere, like, at the conventions or the meetings, even though they were in their, within the congregation, the father always sat on the end seat and then the girls had to sit in between the men, the boys, and it was a very, you know, machoism kind of thing in my opinion, but like I was really good friends with one of the girls, and if I sat with them at a convention, like we had to sit in between the two boys, and I'm like,
right,
so stupid.
That's stupid.
And frankly, I have asked sister after sister, you know, what do you think of this? Do you find that appealing, attractive, you know?
As they're in the back room at the Jehovah's Witness hall on their knees sucking his dick because he's a dirty old fucking man. I'm sure he... listen.
I'm sure
this guy.
I don't know.
He looks like...
He does.
He looks like Emperor Palpatine.
I'm just curious because I'm not a woman.
and everybody,
you know
what?
I've not met one yet that thought they looked good.
Then why the... No. I've not met one yet that thought they looked good. Then why would they be wearing?
No, he's talking about the women. He's asking the women if they find that attractive.
And
of course they're not going to
the old ladies.
Well, right. But here's the other part of that. As a young girl, you're not supposed to even admit
any kind of attraction.
You're not supposed to look because the Bible tells you if you lust after anyone, you've already committed adultery in your mind or whatever, or fornication or whatever it is. So a member of the governing body asks you if you think that's attractive. It doesn't matter. It could be like the most attractive. It could be the cover of the People magazine, sexiest man alive or whatever. And you better say no or you're going to be in the back room.
I've been telling others, and this is a fact, the homosexuals that are designing these clothes, they like you in tight pants.
What?
This guy's sick.
That's who likes it. Not spiritual people.
I don't even know what to do with this guy.
You can't. There's nothing you can do with him. He's just, ugh.
So that's our evidence of character witness.
Yeah, this tells you.
for the next clip that we're going to watch, which is a more recent clip. And it's a 2017 program, it looks like it says. I don't know. I can't tell. But it's called...
they do a monthly broadcast.
Anthony Morris III, what is the best education?
The faithful slave provided counsel regarding higher education in the October 1st, 2005 issue of The Watchtower, pages 26 through 31. The article was entitled, Parents, What Future Do You Want for Your Children? The cover of the very next issue, October 15, 2005, asked the question, what is the best education? You may have noticed that we've not published that thorough of a discussion on the subject since that time.
I was just thinking that.
Because you were wrong about it in the first place.
Well, they never, you know, they only change things if they're proven to be.
Right.
Right. So why are we talking about it all of a sudden? What has come up?
Why is that? Has the governing body changed its position regarding the pursuit of higher secular education? No. We feel that all of the cautions that we have addressed in the past are still valid. However, our goal now is to focus on and intensify our promotion of the pursuit of divine education.
This guy just makes me want to go to sleep. Or kill myself. I can't decide which. But I think...
I don't think I'd be able to sleep with that noise in the background. He's really
pitchy.
If parents
and young ones are motivated to avidly pursue divine education, the quest for higher secular education becomes less and less of an issue. As most of you know, I am a father. My wife and I raised two boys in the truth. Once a father, always a father. So even though my sons are grown and married, I still think like a father.
Sons are grown and married and working their fucking $9 an hour McDonald's job.
Probably.
I'd really like to know, what do these guys do with their lives?
Well,
they're probably in the church, and they probably,
well, let me tell you,
lead congregations.
He is the hierarchy. He's at the top. He's okay. One of the nine, or how, I don't know, it's nine.
The
or
nine old men. Yeah. Walt's nine old men, the Walt Disney group that originally.
Maybe that's why. I don't know what the actual number is. But there's the governing body, and they are in charge of whatever. But, I mean, there's videos of them and on their website wearing Rolexes. So you know they're not hurting. They've right. got money.
Oh, sure.
They got Cadillacs and whatever. But everybody below them that's working their butts off and giving all of their money to the congregation
to so they can buy cars.
That goes right to right. them, it's just sick.
Are they all old white men?
No, I think there's one diversity
oh.
guy.
Well, they got to, yeah, keeping up appearances maybe.
Well, there's I think one of the men is, he's white, but I think he's from Australia or something. And then there is a black guy, and then all the other ones are old white guys, I think. I don't know. I'll have to look up a picture.
Fair enough.
And that is why I wanted to address this subject on JW Broadcasting.
JW. What is this, an old election campaign video? George W.
Higher education. What do we mean when we use that expression? The October 1st, 2005 issue of the Watchtower that I referred to earlier provided a definition. It used the example of the educational system in the United States, acknowledging that it involves 12 years of basic education in public schools. Then it stated, thereafter, students may choose to attend university for 4 or more years, leading to a bachelor's degree or to postgraduate studies for careers in medicine, law, engineering, and so forth. Such university education is what is meant when the term higher education is used. It further stated, on the other hand, there are technical and vocational schools offering short-term courses that result in a certificate or diploma in some trade or service.
Okay, with you so far.
We realize educational systems vary from place to place. In some countries, higher education is provided by the government, free of charge. However, the cost of obtaining university training is not our primary concern. It is the potential for spiritual harm that has moved us to provide the cautions we have shared in the past.
Oh, my God.
No, it is the potential that
they're going to
go to school and
members.
Be taught something outside of their bubble and go, right. Wait, that makes so much more sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and again, back to the NPR article. I mean, this is a kid that was interested in science.
Yeah. How'd that go?
Yeah. Well, and if you allow a religious person to learn science, I don't want to say every time, because I know plenty of examples. You know, my science teacher in high school was probably one of the most religious people I knew.
Well, they have this Awake magazine that comes out however many times a year it comes out. And I remember growing up, I actually liked the Awake better than the Watchtower. Because the difference between the Watchtower and the Awake is that the Watchtower is directed more towards scriptural learning, and the Awake is more about what's going on in the world. What I realize about it now is that it was what was going on in the world that they were allowing us to know.
Right.
It was like our only connection to the outside world, unless we disobeyed the, you know, silent order to not go out there for and look for yourselves. But you would get articles that were based in scientific studies and like things on those lines. Like there was lots of things about the environment and like how plants, the photosynthesis and like stuff like that. So sometimes there was some really interesting stuff in there. But again, it was only what they wanted us to know. They didn't go into any, you know, topics that could have been controversial or caused somebody to think outside of the creationism spectrum. So anything that was printed about evolution was always pro-creationism. And there was actually instances now they had a book that was all about creation versus evolution, and they actually had to stop publishing it because
they were losing the argument.
Well, no, because there were people that went in and actually looked up the quotes, and there was ellipses where they had taken the quotes mm-hmm. and doctored them to make it sound like the quote was on their side, and it actually wasn't.
Wow.
Yeah, there were people that had done interviews that said, you misquoted me. Like, there was lots of little things. So they just take things and twist it around to make it what they want it to be.
Right. And they certainly weren't showing you the science of, you know, 1 in 5 Jehovah's Witness kids is molested.
Oh, absolutely
or whatever,
not.
However many.
No, there was no math involved.
Ultimately, it is the decision of the parents as to the amount of secular education they feel is necessary for a child to later care for a family of his own.
Okay, then we're good. We don't need to watch this video. We don't need to hear anything. It's ultimately up to the parents. Thank mm-hmm. you. Goodbye.
Right. But
as parents, we would be remiss if we did not encourage our child to pursue a skill or trade that would enable him to start off a marriage successfully.
So go work in the factory at your menial job after you learn to be a, you know, a mechanic or a mm-hmm. welder or whatever, and fuck any other knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, it does not change the fact that all too often our young people have met with spiritual disaster, especially after leaving home and living on a university campus. So parents and children, you need to have a goal and you need to have a plan. If you're missing either one, Satan will provide it for you. Young people, ask yourself, why am I considering additional education? Is it because I'm pursuing a specific skill or trade to support my service to Jehovah? Or have I been pressured by the system into believing that higher education will somehow make me a more respected person or lead me to a better life?
Yeah, you're going to have a whole lot more opportunities. We're only 4.5 minutes into this thing.
Well, let me say.
Please.
There are times when I remember, like, well, if you want to go to Bethel, you have to have a skill. So they encourage certain young ones. If you have a good standing and you're a pioneer and you want to go to Bethel, now Bethel is their headquarters that was in Brooklyn, and I don't know where it's moving now, somewhere else in New York, but they've just sold all their buildings to Donald Trump's son-in-law. But there were certain young ones of a certain, I want to say class, I guess.
Okay.
That were encouraged to pursue careers because they needed those careers at Bethel. Bethel needs lawyers. Bethel needs doctors.
Yeah, they do.
Bethel needs nurses. Bethel needs, you know, all of these things that Bethel needs. So if you're going to go to school for that because you want to go to Bethel, you have our support. But if you want to go to school to become a doctor because you want to help people in the world that are not Jehovah's people, then you're wasting your education because the world's just going to end.
That's terrible.
It's horrible. So, you know, there were definitely cases where young ones were encouraged to go after really good educations for careers, but
if they benefited,
it was because they wanted those young ones to in turn turn around and give back to the organization. I knew kids that were architects.
Right.
And, you know, ended up going to Bethel and building buildings and building, you know, and Kingdom Hall projects and all this stuff. And then there were people like me that, you know, I didn't get any encouragement to go and get any kind of education beyond that. I think maybe it was suggested a massage therapy or something that only took 2 years at a trade school.
Right.
And that just wasn't, nothing that I could have been done when 2 years at a trade school appealed to me. So I just said, well, fine, screw it. I'm not going to go do anything. And I ended up working in retail. because I knew a brother who could get me a job.
Right.
And it benefited, I benefited from it a little because of the company that I worked for was willing to teach me things in fields that I was interested in. But if you didn't have that experience,
right,
you know, and that's not everybody. Most people end up being pest control.
Let me review the scriptural basis for our previous published concerns about higher education. As an example, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad associations spoil useful habits. While it is true that the ancient city of Corinth was known for its immoral lifestyle, what was the Apostle Paul primarily concerned about when he penned those words? In verse 12 of the same chapter, he made clear that his comment about bad associations had to do with what the other persons believed. It was a doctrinal issue. If we are in continued association with those who do not believe the same, it can erode our thinking and convictions.
And I don't think that's a terrible thing. Sorry, your book's wrong. Diversity is a great thing. And if, as much as I don't like capitalism, if you ever want to see proof of how true that is, talk to any corporate board member or business owner, and they will tell you that the key to success in their business ventures is having a diverse group of people. The world is populated with diverse groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
So even by your own God's design, we are all different. By design. Your book's wrong.
Some have felt that spending time with non-believers in a university setting's no different than working secularly with those who do not share our beliefs.
What's any different from knocking on their door and fucking sitting on their couch and let me preach to you? I mean, you're hanging out with secular people all day long knocking on doors.
Yeah, but you're pushing your message and you're encouraged to walk away if they try to give you their message.
Fair enough.
And in fact, bad associations in the workplace can be a real danger. However, it is one thing to work on a job with others and quite another matter to immerse oneself in an institution of learning.
Air quotes, learning this guy. Hey, let's talk about institutions. Let's talk about your own institution. Look at this guy's fucking TV studio here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a giant screen behind him that shows pictures of, you know, people studying the good book, sitting in classrooms. And then he's got this glassy desk. And now look, I work for the government and we have a desk in our table in a conference room that was like $30,000. Real expensive fucking table. This thing is like 2-inch thick fucking glass on top of this broadcast desk that he's sitting at.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really need all of that stuff to share the good news or whatever STD it is that the Jehovah's Witnesses share? Do you really need all that?
Well, you get real serious. When I was a kid, I remember them looking down on televangelists, and now that's all they
are. And that's what they are.
That's what they've become.
In Romans 12, 2, Paul said to stop being molded by this system of things, but be transformed by making your mind over. We are to be careful that this system does not mold or shape our thinking. The verse said to make over your minds, not hand over your minds.
Then it's time to leave religion, because that is handing over your mind to the old men in the back room, in this particular case.
Yep.
Higher learning can easily influence thinking and attitudes. Elders in congregations that are in close proximity to universities are well aware of the repeated scenario of parents coming to the Kingdom Hall with a child that they're dropping off to attend the nearby university. Sadly, often in a few weeks or months, the child begins missing meetings. And not too long into the school year, he totally disappears. Then the parents are upset with the local body of elders for not shepherding their child. My question is, who dropped them off at the university?
Okay, this is a classic deflection.
And he's good at this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, the church is still good. Don't blame us. It must be that secular, worldly school that you sent them. You, the parents.
Yeah.
How dare you have taken your child away from the church? What an asshole.
This is the same asshat that told parents that if their child was not ready, air quotes, to get baptized, then they were not ready to get a driver's license.
What?
He was telling parents, if your child doesn't want to get baptized, you don't let them get a driver's license, basically, is what he said off of the stage.
So where does the responsibility really lie? When we make a decision, we must realistically also accept the consequences. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. This was written by Paul as an illustration for Timothy to consider. Now, it makes sense that the large house commented on refers to the congregation.
It makes sense to you because that fits your narrative.
Exactly.
And the utensils of varying value would be like individual members of the congregation. 2 Timothy 2, and verses 20 through 22.
I mean, already, I don't take your book as valid evidence for anything, but all right, go ahead.
You got to keep in mind the people he's talking to.
Do. I know.
Now, in a large house, there are utensils not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and earthenware, and some for an honorable use, but others for a use lacking honor. So if anyone keeps clear of or doesn't associate with these ones, he'll be an instrument for an honorable use, sanctified, useful to his owner, Jehovah God, prepared for every good work. So flee from youthful desires, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a clean heart. If we should be that careful about our association inside the congregation, the application is even more appropriate when it comes to institutions of secular learning. I have long said, the better the university, the greater the danger.
Whoa!
Yeah, so go to a shitty school because, you know, they don't teach anything.
Whoa.
So you won't be unbrainwashed.
Oh my God.
Let me point out too, he's reading from this silver Bible.
Yeah.
This isn't their new version, and it's not the first time they've republished their Bible. It's, I don't know, probably the third or fourth time.
Right.
But every time they come out with a new edition of their Bible, they say something like along the lines of, now with added reference notes or things. But there are actually people that have gone back and word for word compared the versions and found where they've taken scriptures completely. Scriptures have disappeared or certain words have been changed to support their doctrine as it is now.
Right.
So, yeah, it's another dirty trick they have.
The most intelligent and eloquent professors will be trying to reshape the thinking of your child, and their influence can be tremendous. One mom, I recall, asked me to try and help her son who was attending a prestigious name university in Rhode Island. After visiting him, I later had to inform her that her son now believed in evolution.
God, evolution! Literally, God forbid. I can't wait to see where this goes. What's wrong with evolution?
Well, he's going to
fact.
Belittle and berate the guy and the parent for sending the kid to the university. Mm.
She refused to believe it until he finally told her himself. How sad.
You're sad. cut the camera too.
In Romans chapter 14... it counsels us not to judge or become overly critical of the decisions of others. As we mentioned earlier, ultimately the parents must decide how much education a child needs to succeed in life. But does that mean that any decision a parent makes regarding a child's education is fine with Jehovah? Follow along with the reasoning in Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12.
I can't wait to hear reasoning from your book. Reasoning. This will be good.
But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you also look down on your brother? And here's a valid point. For he will stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as surely as I live, says Jehovah, to me every knee will bend, and every tongue will make open acknowledgement to God.
That should be the end of it.
Right.
God is going to judge them, so why should you? Period. The end. Now this moron is spouting all this hateful anti-education. So now the parents that do decide to go against those words and send their children off to be educated are not only going to feel guilty about it, they're also going to have their brothers and sisters in the congregation judging them, even though they're not supposed to.
Here, Jehovah guarantees that one day, every person on earth will be a true worshiper of him.
Okay. I've talked about this before, and maybe this is, I kind of got this, the idea from an interview I watched with Hitch. But no, if your God exists, right, let's play the game and I'll even give you that. And one day he comes back and I stand in judgment. He has a lot to answer for. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of questions for him. How dare you? And I think Christopher Hitchens said it best, right? There is a bug whose entire life cycle exists to eat out from the inside of the eyeball of young children.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why do we need that? Cancer in children. Why? How dare you create a world with so much pain and suffering? How dare you? No God would get worship from me.
Mm-mm.
Who created a world like that?
Well, and the Christians will tell you God didn't create those things to torture humans, but this is just what we have evolved into this because of the sin.
Right.
But and then they'll say, and Satan uses these things to challenge your faith.
Fine. The good book also says that God is the creator of light and dark, mm-hmm. of good and evil. Yes. God created evil.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
All right.
They won't see that, though.
Will you be there? Will your son or daughter be among those alive at that time?
If evolution permits it.
Do your personal decisions matter? Yes. Look at verse 12. So then, each of us will render an account for himself to God. Yes, we all will have to answer to Jehovah for the decisions we make today. May we all decide to play it safe before our God. Think of all the opportunities there are now to enjoy divine education, congregation meetings, family worship, assemblies and conventions.
To keep you within the control of the organization.
The JW.org website and the station you're watching right now.
That you so graciously pay for each week or however often you guys throw us money.
But in addition to all of that, the curriculum for the Pioneer Service School has been revised and is getting superb reviews by those attending.
I went to that school, not the new one.
Right, right.
Let me tell you, it was the most boring 2 weeks of my life.
Yeah. Rave reviews, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they had come to you and said, what did you think?
Of course you're going to say, oh, I loved it. It was amazing. It was such a blessing from Jehovah.
Then there's the new curriculum for the School for Kingdom Evangelizers that bolsters and trains students for a career in a variety of theocratic privileges. In addition to promoting divine education, what secular skills will we be promoting? Skills that'll be useful to God's organization now and after Armageddon.
We need lawyers.
Yeah. And air conditioning techs, construction workers, people to build the new Bethel.
For example, we need construction skills around the world right now.
Oh, look, I was right. Wow. I haven't even watched this.
You didn't watch this yet. That's
but
funny.
Can I also point out, too, that now in the backdrop of this 5,000-inch TV that's behind him, there is a display of the Earth, of the globe and the galaxy and all of these different photos, like, you know, like the Earth slowly spinning behind him.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have images of Earth from space or of space if not for generations before you saying, fuck the Jehovah, put me in a box and I can't have a secular education.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have had the picture to put on your backdrop if people before you hadn't stepped out of the line to say, no, I want to study things.
Right. Well, yeah, those pictures were certainly not provided by any Jehovah's Witness on a space shuttle, that's for sure.
Right?
And think about this. We will not need doctors or lawyers after Armageddon, but we will need carpenters and plumbers and similar construction trades.
What?
Oh, because you didn't know Armageddon is going to come and the whole world is going to be turned into a war zone and everything's going to be destroyed. And then you're going to have to build your own new house in the paradise. And what? So they need all of these people with all of these skills now.
What?
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 You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, sorry. Muffin, you must not be one of the chosen ones.
I go through this whole thing. I believe all your garbage. I spew it forth upon the people whose doors I've knocked upon. I buy into this whole bullshit. Then we all die, and I stay in limbo until paradise. And then,
you don't die unless. Well, yeah, I guess you die.
I'm gonna die, right? Because it's all garbage.
You don't call it limbo though. You're just sleeping.
Whatever. I'm sleeping until paradise. Whatever. The point is, God, Jehovah, has done all of this great stuff for me. And yet he won't even build my fucking house for me in paradise. What kind of fucking paradise is that? I got to have somebody build my house for me.
Well, I grew up in South Florida. So we did a lot of door-to-door witnessing in really prestigious neighborhoods. Fort Lauderdale Beach. There's on the intercoastal, all the celebrities. And I remember being in service and driving by these big houses and everybody be like, oh, I'm going to have that house after Armageddon.
Oh my gosh.
Like, seriously, yeah.
It requires faith to decline higher education and have the confidence that our material needs will be cared for by training in other fields of employment. Speaking of lawyers, we have an interesting perspective from Brother Philip Brumley of the legal department. Let's go to our Patterson studio and listen to an interview of him conducted by Brother David Schaefer, a helper to the teaching committee.
Thank you very much, Brother Morris.
And we're a live fucking satellite feed now.
Oh, yeah, we're getting
delighted
fancy
to have with us Brother Philip Brumley, overseer of the legal department. He's been a full-time servant for the past 41 years, and for the last 28 years has been overseer of the legal department. Brother Brumley, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today. I know you have a very busy schedule.
My pleasure.
So far, we have three white guys.
How did it come about that you came to work in the legal department?
Okay, I'm not interested in this guy's interview. We're going to skip ahead. I mean, I'm sure there would be lots of things in here for us to pick apart, but...
Thank you, brothers, for sharing that very interesting perspective about the subtle mental conditioning that can transpire when exposed to higher education. Brother Brumley's experience in law school was nearly 30 years ago. Given the spiritual dangers involved, though, the governing body has decided that if we need additional attorneys in the future, we will not expose a member of the Bethel family to the environment of higher education.
What?
Telling you, they got to keep them all in their horse blinders. Keep your eye on the prize.
My brother likened his experience in a university setting to being in a house that is on fire. Spiritually speaking, he said, even if you escape alive, your clothes still smell like smoke. It has an effect on you.
Oh my God, this guy is an idiot.
That's not even him saying that. That was somebody else.
Yeah.
They're all idiots.
Higher education often instills a sense of superiority and self-reliance that is in direct opposition to the Christian personality.
Self-reliance, perhaps, which I would say is not a bad thing. Mm-mm. But superiority from the church that claims they have the moral superiority. This mm-hmm. is, I am the one true religion with the one true God with the moral superiority.
And y'all are going to die if you don't convert.
Go fuck yourself.
Right, exactly.
Like the smell of smoke on clothes, these traits can be absorbed very quickly and can be very difficult to get rid of once they're part of the fabric of your personality. A circuit overseer sent me a letter in which he described what he called a picture perfect witness family.
Oh, this will be good.
I loved the air quotes, by the way.
Yeah, picture perfect with air quotes.
Until the oldest son received a full scholarship to attend a university.
Dun, dun, dun.
The university was an hour and 45 minute drive from home.
So too far away for us to control.
Mm-hmm.
The family wrestled with the decision to send him off for his extra schooling.
Did he wrestle or wrassle?
He doesn't know the word difference of the words because he didn't go to school.
Finally, the opportunity to get this education basically free of charge won out. The scholarship included housing in a co-ed dorm at the university.
Oh, no.
Within just a few weeks, the son called his parents to say that he could not remain faithful to Jehovah in this environment. He begged his parents to let him come back home. The parents told him, no, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Figure it out.
Okay, now it's time to attack the parents again.
Mm-hmm.
The short story is the son left the truth. The parents divorced. His siblings are not doing anything for Jehovah.
Sounds so like a sad. Good ending.
Yeah, right?
So sad. The opportunity of a lifetime turned out to be not much of a life at all.
No.
I want to know what he's doing now.
What's this kid doing now? Right.
He's probably got a great life. And you know what? His parents are probably happier divorced because I'll tell you from experience, that is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
In contrast, one mother who was a single parent related this experience. When her son was a senior in high school, he was offered a university scholarship. The mom was concerned when her son seemed to be considering accepting the scholarship. She did not initially come right out and say no. Instead, she expressed her view by reminding him of the principle of giving our first fruits, our best, to Jehovah. She said, "The years after high school are your best years because you are young and strong and healthy, and you don't have a lot of obligations to complicate your life. Why not give your first fruits to Jehovah and pioneer for a year, and then consider how much additional education is required?"
Yeah, that's a popular one.
I kind of feel like the give your first fruits to Jehovah thing is also metaphor for the young kids in the back room getting diddled by the elders.
Man.
They're taking their first fruits.
Yeah.
Her son decided to pioneer and work part-time instead of accepting his scholarship. He later served at Bethel. Looking back, he is absolutely convinced that this was the best decision he could have made.
I wonder if he was among the group of people that were dismissed from Bethel recently when they did their cuts and had nowhere to go and no real secular education. And they just said, all right, there you go. You're out. That happened. And with older people too, like that have been there for years and years and years, they just sent them on their way with nowhere to go.
Well, and he says it like going to work at Bethel is the most worldly good that you can possibly do.
As a father, my heart goes out to you parents. And please understand that we want the same thing for your children that you do.
Mind control.
Their money.
Yeah, their money. Yeah, exactly.
We want them to be able to care for their future physical needs responsibly. But at the same time, an extended application of 3 John verse 4 applies.
Extended application?
Oh, this is where they're going to twist the scripture to make it mean what they want it to mean.
Okay.
Translation.
Okay.
There it says, "No greater joy do I have than this, that I should hear that my children go on walking in the truth. Remember, divine education truly is the opportunity of an everlasting lifetime.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to do that more often too, because...
Attack Anthony Morris?
Just watching those. And we've done that before. We didn't pick necessarily the best JW video to do the first time, but...
No, there's...
So that was a good one.
Depending on the topic, you can really find some interesting stuff that gives you an enlightening view of the mindset.
So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to completely do the opposite of what these nutbags are doing.
Love it.
Our six, nearly seven-year-old is going to be coming in the studio with us. And we're going to talk about science and space and... The weekend trip that we took out to the Kennedy Space Center to watch the rocket launch. You're listening to Sarah Talk. You're busy. I'm busy. We're all busy. And that's why I listen to podcasts. And it's probably why you listen to podcasts too. And that's why I use Audible. And I know you're going to love it too. I love to read, but I also have two rowdy kids and a crazy third shift job and putting together material for the show. And that just doesn't leave a lot of free time to read like I used to. Now I can listen to an audiobook in the shower, on the drive to work, and don't tell my boss, sometimes even at work. These are the popular books you've been wanting to read. Titles from the New York Times bestseller list, the Oprah Book Club, authors like John Grisham, J.K. Rowling, Carrie Fisher's The Princess Diarist. Here's one I know you'll want to hear. A gray totalitarian world dominated by Big Brother and its vast network of agents, including the Thought Police. A world in which news is manufactured according to the authorities' will, and people live tepid lives by rote. Sound familiar? George Orwell's 1984 has found new meaning in the Trump era, and yes, it's available right now at Audible. Audible has over 180,000 titles in every genre, classics, biographies, science fiction, romance, mysteries, you name it. As a Sarah Talk listener, Audible is offering you a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. What free book will you choose? Orwell's 1984? The Harry Potter series? Here's my suggestion. Many of you listen to this podcast for our criticism of religion and outspoken atheism. Start with God is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything by the late Christopher Hitchens. Then send me an email. Let me know what you think. Take advantage of this special promotion, a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial. Go to audibletrial.com/Sarah Talk and download your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/Sarah Talk.
Welcome back to Sarah Talk.
Awesome. Thank you. So now we have our kiddo in the studio with us.
Mm.
And we're going to talk about what we did this weekend.
Yep.
What did we do this weekend?
We watched a rocket launch.
We did. So you guys came and picked me up from work early in the morning. You had to get up so early.
And on Saturday, it didn't launch because there was a steering problem.
Yeah, that's right.
And they said hold.
Yep.
And then on Sunday it launched.
Right. So Saturday morning, early. So you picked me up and we drove out. We're in Orlando. And so it was about an hour and a half drive out to Cape Canaveral in the Kennedy Space Center. And we went to the Kennedy Space Center. And you've been there before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been there like about almost like 2 days.
And you really like it? It's lots of fun?
Yeah.
And then we waited in a really, really long line to get on a bus. And then we rode the bus all the way out to the Apollo 5 Center. No, the Saturn 5 Center. Yeah. We rode the bus at too many rockets.
You're
I can't remember.
Silly mommy. Oh. Sarah.
So we went all the way out to the special viewing area. And there were so many people there. Where did we have to sit?
we had to sit on the floor.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
And they have bleachers, but we didn't get to sit on the bleachers because it was so busy.
And then on Sunday, we sat in the front where the wheelchairs go.
Right.
And the scooters and baby strollers.
Right. So let's talk about Saturday still. Mm-hmm. We're still in Saturday and we're waiting
to go to Sunday.
And you can see, you can see across the water. What can you see?
The space launch.
The space launch, right. You can see the launch pad.
I said space launch on the speaker so that you can hear it in your microphone.
Think and my headphones.
Yeah, your headphones.
Yeah. Okay, so we're waiting. We can see the launch pad across the water. When they start venting liquid oxygen, I think, is what he said. And when they vent that, what happens? Do you remember what we could see across the water coming from the rocket launcher?
We can see smoke.
Right. It's like a cloud of smoke.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's like a giant cloud of smoke. And when it launches, the cloud of smoke gets bigger.
Mm-hmm. So then...
Because of the rockets, and the rockets make smoke. Because out of the fire, fire makes smoke.
Right. We didn't see that on Saturday, though. We saw the gas venting.
Yeah.
So then they switched the audio. So then we could listen to the sounds that they were that they were doing in the control room, right? We could hear them talking in the control room. We could hear the sounds from the control room, right?
Rock.
And they were like, what did they say? What kind of things did they say?
They went like, launch control. Are you ready for launch?
Yeah. And then finally they said, we're go for launch. Right?
Go for launch.
And then what happened? Then they started the countdown, right?
Yep.
They're like 30 seconds, T minus 20 seconds, T minus 15 seconds.
On Saturday,
and then launch. And then what happened? 15, 14, 13.
Hold.
Hold. Yep. And they had to shut down the launch. And because of the kind of rockets, the kind of launch this is, they only have this small window to launch the rocket. And if it doesn't go up right then it doesn't go up at all, right? So we had to leave. We didn't get to see the rocket launch.
But on Sunday, we got to see the rocket launch.
That's right.
And that was cool.
So let's listen to the sounds of the video that we took. Okay?
Okay. I'm ready.
Stage one and stage two. Press for flight.
Watch the launch pad.
LD verifies. Go for launch.
Here we go. There it goes. Engines are turning on. Watch it climb up, okay?
Yay. Here we go. All
right. First launch from pad 39A in 6 years. Thank you very much for being here. Have a good day. At least we got it off the ground.
Moo.
So then, cow.
Moo.
All we could see was the rocket go up. And very quickly into the clouds. And then it disappeared, right?
Yeah.
And then we waited about 7 minutes. And do you remember what happened 7 minutes later?
Boom.
Oh my gosh, what was that?
The rocket boom. The supersonic boom.
The supersonic boom, yep.
It was a double boom. It was like a ba-boom.
Boom. Right.
And do you know what that was? Do you remember what made that sound?
No.
It was the sound of... the stage one of the rocket coming back down. So SpaceX is trying to make rockets reusable. Before they started, rockets went up
and then down,
and they had to, hopefully they could pick them up and get rid of them, or they sink to the bottom of the ocean. And that's not very environmentally friendly, is it? It's not very good for the animals that live in the water. Dropping hot rockets in the ocean, that's not good. So some parts still fall to the ocean and go down. But now they've figured out a way to take the first part of the rocket, the bottom part, that when it blasts off, it separates, and then they figured out a way to bring it back down and land it on the ground. Is that awesome?
Cool. I think they added boosters to the back so it can just go on the ground,
right?
Instead of in the water.
Yeah, they made a way to control its direction coming back down so that it lands where they want it to.
Like a rocket on the top where it just turns on when it starts to go down, and mm-hmm. then it goes down faster.
I think it's rockets on the bottom to slow it down as it's falling.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a rocket up.
Okay, maybe.
And then there's one rocket up there.
You know what?
Because they're a little fast.
You could go into science and learn about rockets and build rockets. And then you would know how those rockets work. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yes.
If you worked in...
You know, study cow science.
So, were you so excited to see this rocket launch? You'd never seen a rocket before, right?
No, yes.
Okay. So, you were so excited?
Yes.
Did seeing that make you more interested in space and rockets and shuttles?
Yes.
And you're going to, are you going to study science in school?
Well, when I grow up, I'm going to actually work in launch control.
Oh, that would be cool. So then you don't have to go in the rocket?
Yeah, because right? that would be scary.
It would be scary.
Because I don't want to die.
Right. And we know that there were a couple of shuttle missions that exploded, right?
And the people that were in there died.
Yeah, and it's very sad.
Yep.
Yeah.
So one of the person that was in number one that exploded, it was going to be a science teacher.
And Challenger?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was a teacher.
She didn't make it.
Right. And that's sad. But you know what? We learned from that. Right. Everything we do is a learning experience. And so NASA decided, you know, maybe this is a little too dangerous for the level of technology that we have right now. We put a man on the moon, and that was really cool. And we'd love to go to Mars. That would be awesome.
There's a storm on Mars right now. It's really bad.
Wow. But maybe we need to take a break from sending humans that far out.
Yeah. Take a break of sending humans to Mars.
And study more. Yeah. Right? And get our technology better and safer.
Like they would drop a machine on Mars and the moon so that the rovers can do it instead of the astronauts.
Right. They can.
And then they can just go to the space station and deliver the parts that go there.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a space station?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Have you been watching Star Wars?
No. No, so, there's actually a space station.
There's actually a real space station?
Yep.
Well, that's awesome. And there's people on it?
Yeah, that work.
So we send people back up into space and they work on a space station. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, they take people in a rocket that will go up to learn how the science experiments work.
Right.
Some little kids can practice going in space, like driving a rocket.
Oh.
A pretend one.
Okay.
Instead of a real
one. Like a simulator.
Yeah, a simulator. Okay. A simulator like the one that one we ride it on Saturday?
Yeah, we rode in one, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yep.
That was a simulator of just the practice run, and the doors open, and we didn't really see outer space for real. We just saw pretend outer space.
Right.
They painted the roof so it would look like outer space, but not really like outer space.
Uh huh.
Like they put stars all over, but there was not. But space has more stars than in nighttime and moon.
So the rocket that we saw shoot off yesterday, Sunday, where is the rocket going? What was the rocket for?
The rocket was going to the space station to deliver some things so they can do the science experiment.
Oh. Were there animals on the rocket?
Some mice.
Some mice, yeah.
Some rats. Rats and mice are the same thing.
Kind of. They're the same type of animal.
But they're a different...
They're both rodents.
Yeah, but...
But they're different.
But they're different types
right.
of rats
mm-hmm.
and mice.
Yep.
A different type of cat food. some cats eat rats and...
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And mice.
You're right. Did you learn anything from our trip to the Kennedy Space Center? What did you learn? Tell me what you learned. What did you learn?
Lots of things.
Like? Give me an example.
Outer space.
What about outer space?
Outer space is really cool. Mm-hmm. And I wish that I can have a telescope and see how outer space is really like for real, in real life.
You'd like to look into a powerful telescope and see the stars
and the sun and the galaxy.
Wow.
But I would really like to see Earth.
You want to go into a shuttle, into a rocket, and go away from Earth and then look back at it? That would be cool.
I would blast off in it and then go far away from Earth and then just look at it and then I'll just turn back to Earth.
Cool. That would be fun.
Yeah.
You could do that, you know.
Yep.
You study science, you could go into space.
Or I can go to Mars or the moon.
That's right. You can be anything you want to do. You can do anything.
Or I can go to the last planet, not Pluto. The Pluto goes around all the planets.
Right.
It doesn't go in a circle around the sun. It goes in an opposite way of all the others.
Really?
It doesn't go up and down, up and down, up and down like that. It goes like this. This is how the Earth would turn around the sun.
Okay. Right.
But this is how Pluto turns around the sun.
Oh, I see. So the planets aren't like on a flat plane. They're not all lined up with each other. Some planets go around in a horizontal, some planets go around in
up
kind
and down,
of an elliptical, right?
Up and down, up and down, up and down.
That's
and,
cool.
And side to side, like this.
Yeah. I think you've learned a lot about space. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yep.
Do you remember what they said, how long it would take to get to Mars and back if you went to Mars? How long it would take from the time that you left until the time that you came home?
About, like, 10 days.
No, right? Not Mars. That was the moon, I think.
No, 10 days would take, like, all the way to the next planet down to Earth, down from Earth.
And then Mars.
It would take, like, 10 days.
And Mars would take 2 years.
2 years? That's wow. But anyway, Mars is the hottest planet because it's the first planet to go around the Earth. And it goes in a smaller orbit.
Is Mars or Mercury?
Mercury. Mars is the second closest planet to
Mercury,
the sun.
Venus.
Mars.
Mars.
Then Earth.
Then Earth. No, we're the third planet, so that can't be right. Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars.
So it would take like about, not 2 years, 1 year.
I think I just figured out what your YouTube channel should be about.
Yeah.
It would take 3 days. It would take 3 days instead of a year.
All right. So I think we've covered all the things that we did this weekend.
And are we done?
We are all done. Thank you for coming on my show.
Okay.
Come back again, okay?
Moo.
That was fun.
Moo, 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 moo.
Okay.
You're supposed to say thank you for having me.
Thank you for... Thank you for whatever.
You're so silly.
So there you go. I guess this show's kind of been about educating, educating kids, education. And screw you, Jehovah's Witness. I want my kid to learn science.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Math. And be excited about learning about the world around us and about our planet and our solar system and the galaxy and to go and explore. It sounds like he's destroying the world in my... in my kitchen right now. I hope that, I mean, obviously, I think our audience is self-selected, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that what you hear in that was a kid that's really excited to learn. And I think that's what's important. So we're going to leave you on that note. It's episode 43. I didn't mention that on the way in, but I posted a fun little picture to Facebook about it. So thank you for listening. As always, next week we have scheduled, and I have to firm this up and make sure that we're still good to launch. We have an interview with Mia Catherine Smith, who is creator, founder of this group called Safe in My Chair. And their little organization has grown very quickly. And I can't wait to learn about what the idea of, like, how that whole thing sparked. And she's got a whole bunch of people on board handling different tasks. But the idea is that they create a registry online where you can go and find a salon that has joined their list to say, if you're trans, you can come here and be safe and we'll affirm your identity and we'll take care of you. And I think that's really awesome. And I think Michael, my stylist, Michael Kaplan, will be back. He was on the show a couple weeks ago. I'm hoping that he will be here in studio for that one, because that will be a fun conversation about, you know, just the kind of the salon environment and how that really is a place where you can build your self-esteem as a trans person. So look forward to that next week. Again, Mia, Catherine Smith, and we're still working on some other things. I've got half the show put together for the episode about human sexuality and partnerships and polygamy, and all kind of hits all these different these topics. But we're looking at it from this perspective of evolutionary biology. Did humans kind of evolve into the monogamous relationship, or is there just a diversity in general? We talked to Wade and Byrne from the SciGasm podcast. So they will tackle the biology piece. If you haven't heard their show, please go listen. It's really great. It's sci-gasm.com. They're hilarious. I just heard their most recent episode was with a paleontologist who like breaks all of the, like, what do you think of when you think of a paleontologist? Well, you think of an old white guy in a lab coat, you know, and it's not that at all. It's this guy is just like tatted up, and he's a biker dude, and he's really cool, but he studies like dinosaurs, right? So as a kid, like my seven-year-old self is going nuts thinking about what this guy does for a living. But anyway, these guys cover all kinds of great topics. So check them out, sci-gasm.com. They will be on an upcoming show discussing human sexuality. Tune in next week. Hopefully we'll be back live next week, next Monday at 9 Eastern time. So check us out then. You've been listening to Sarah Talk.
Sarah Talk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/SarahTalk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and company by email at producer@saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media, facebook.com/SarahTalkRadio and on Twitter @SarahTalkRadio. Sarah Talk is a production of Sarah Austin Media. We'll be right back.